Hey now, welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. We start hour number three, getting ready for a big weekend at college football tonight. USC needs it badly against Utah. Huge games tomorrow. Georgia, Notre Dame is enormous. They don't get any bigger, though, than Michigan at Wisconsin. Half the fam is at that game. Janet is there. Jake attends school there. They've got great tickets. They're going. They're hyped. Logs and I are staying home. Program today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We start our third and final hour coming up. Alvey's iconic week that was. Bottom of the hour. Matt Olson, first baseman for the A's, coming up next segment. My thoughts on the Bills and the Bills Mafia coming up in a few moments. Quickly, some reaction to hour number two, which was a great hour. Franken Boise, a.k.a. at Mock Moda, tweets, Rome, that unnamed adult porn site isn't named K Savage Hub, is it? No.
Don't forget Mock Moda.
Jamie in Green Bay tweets, imagine getting 100% of your income from porn. Signed, the girl from your Christmas party. It's got me on the wrong side of some adult performers, I'm sure. But my point is, way back in the day, I worked for another broadcast company. And my man Craig Kitchen ran that broadcast company. And aside from being the most beloved and respected executive in the history of this industry, Craig Kitchen is also known and known for thousands of things. But first and foremost, perhaps, when he ran that said company, and I worked for him, he threw the greatest Christmas parties ever for the company, for his employees. One of the employees was going around telling people that night, I want to get into porn. I want to get into porn. And our response was, you don't get into porn, you end up in porn. I don't know what happened to her, but you all remember that. At Sam1 in San Antonio tweets, wore a new TV show called Pimp My Buggy. And this is the one I've been waiting on. At Nika989, Alvin, get her ready. Ms. Nika tweets, this offer is the most Duval thing ever. I need this Minshew unit sock to be sold. She's in favor of the unit sock. Of course, it is the queen we're talking about, Alvin.
Now, I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the games, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
I'm out of money. The only thing I can do is go to the game, buy the Minshew unit sock, take it home, and do whatever it is I do with it.
War Lady Clone.
Ms. Nika, the Lady Clone's having a big day. How about those bookends? Kay Savage started it off by saying she wants to have Minshew's babies. Ms. Nika is in there talking about the unit sock. Matt and Van, you still playing along? At Belligerent Nuck tweets, what you call a penis puppet? Rick in Buffalo just calls an outfit.
You look like an angry, screaming human penis, man. Mixing a baseball cap.
You look like an angry, human, screaming penis. Mixing a puppet.
Penis.
We're about due a Rick in Buffalo call, are we not? He's about due. 1-800-636-8686. Go ahead. Phone lines are open right now. Got a lull in the action. Let's talk. Speaking of Buffalo, so I've talked about the true kings of New York. The true kings of New York. They're making their triumphant return home after ripping a couple of road wins in the same Jersey building and officially reglossing MetLife Stadium to the more appropriate name of Bills Life Stadium. And what a homecoming that's going to be. 2-0, tied for first with the Patriots, and a touchdown favorite to hand the Bengals their third loss of the season. So the obvious question, Mafia, how y'all living?
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your
it's a known, unequivocal, undisputed fact that nobody rages like the Bills Mafia rages. Lighter fluid, table slams, beer bongs, even some parking lot fornication have all been well documented over the last few years at Orchard Park tailgates. But apparently it's a new era at New Era Field. The Bills aren't just taking on the Bengals this Sunday. The Bills organization is taking on the Bills Mafia. BuffaloNews.com reports, Bills officials are drastically ramping up their efforts to curb that giant weekly frat party that resulted in an average of 3 arrests and 46 ejections per game last year. Bills VP of Operations, Andy Major, said, quote, "We're not perfect. We know that. A small amount of fans will be irresponsible and drink too much. There's always a few knuckleheads out there who will make it a bad experience for the families." End quote. That's a key point, an interesting point. Those knuckleheads have the Bills' attention because in anticipation for that home opener, because they know people will be hyped, they're 2-0, they're a touchdown favorite. In anticipation, the teams employed 300 law enforcement personnel and an additional 300 private security personnel to patrol the stadium grounds and the areas around it. Damn, Mafia. Congrats. You now have 600 watchdogs on your collective ass. Turns out, and I'm not saying, I'm like this guy, it's a few knuckleheads. But it turns out, getting blind drunk and smashing through flaming tables and lobbing sex toys onto the field is more fun to do than it is to clean up.
Robert Donga.
And the team is tired of the act, even if the rest of the nation cannot get enough of that act. The report goes on to state that a 25-foot-tall surveillance tower called Skywatch is going to be in use. HD cameras will be on top of the tower, and they can zoom in on activity from hundreds of yards away. That kind of technology. Again, Mafia, I salute you. I congratulate you. You officially have the undivided attention of HD Big Brother. And HD Big Brother is bringing the big hammer, the Skywatch. Not only that, but the Bills are also going to resort to the tried and true tactic of pricing out the riffraff. Parking lot permits for the bus and limo zones have been increased, and the Bills say permit sales have gone down. But they don't care. In other words, they're willing to take a loss to keep certain people out. Behave or be gone. Or, as the cornhole tournament lady would say, get.
Stop it right now. We will stop this tournament. This is stupid. This is absolutely ridiculous. Get out of here. We will stop this tournament right now.
We will stop this tournament so right now.
Get.
We will stop this tournament so fast it'll make your head spin. Get.
Cut the crap.
Cut the crap.
Get.
Stop throwing sex toys on the field. Get.
Robert Donga.
This is stupid.
Stop crashing through burning tables. Get.
Get.
We see you from the watchtower. Get.
Cut the crap.
Stop throwing dildos on the field. Get.
This is stupid.
Robert Donga.
Hey, look, I don't have a dog in the fight. I love the Bills. I love the Mafia. But the Bills are not down with a certain portion of the Mafia that lights itself on fire, risks injuries to themselves and others, and then ends up going home in silver bracelets instead of driving home safely. And it's hard to take issue with the team ramping up efforts to make the game day experience better for families and the majority of people who are not doing things like sneaking giant rubber dongas into the game in order to lob them on the field. Somebody else always has to come in and clean up that mess. The beer cans, the broken tables, the dongas, the ashes from the fires that should not have been set, the dongas that should not have been thrown. And apparently the team is sick and tired of having to clean up that mess. So to the mafia, I say, smile, you're on camera. And you earn the hell out of every bit of surveillance coming your way on Sunday. Now, whether or not that's something you're proud of or not is completely up to you. But one thing that is not up for debate, you are still the true kings of New York. And the team is simply asking that you act like it.
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head.
Question for the Bills Mafia. How's that make you feel? Are you proud or are you bent? They're cracking down now. They're doubling security. They've got a watchtower with HD capability, and they're able to zoom in from several football fields away. They're on to you now. They're watching.
Hit the crap.
And they jacked up the price of permits for the tailgate village. They're trying to price you riffraff out. How's that make you feel? Are you proud? Are you still going to do what you've always done? Are you going to approach it the way you've always approached it? The price of success, yo. Because they know. They know if that's how you act when you're 0-2 or 1-7, they know that you're hyped at 2-0, soon to be 3-0. They know how you're going to act if you win that game as you're supposed to, and they know how you're going to act if you lose that game when you're not supposed to. Either way, they're ready. Because either way, they're expecting the same thing. More of it. Can't wait to see that game. When we come back, we're talking A's baseball. Matt Olson. It is one of my favorite topics. A's baseball. It's incredible how they find ways to do it every single year. And virtually every single year, you come right down to it into September, and they're right there. Matt Olson joins me next. After that, and I know a lot of you wait on it, Alvin DeLauro's Week That Was. And I have to send you off into the weekend with a preview of EP96 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Houston Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta. Man, there's a lot of show today. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Like I said, it is one of my favorite topics. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We are talking Oakland A's baseball. We're joined by a first baseman for the A's. He is a Gold Glove winner, seventh in the American League in home runs and slugging percentage. Leads American League first baseman in WAR, hitting .269, 35 home runs, 86 runs batted in. Oakland holding on to a two-game lead in the wild card chase, and they are hosting Texas this evening. Matt Olson is my guest. Matt, great to have you on the show. How are you?
Good, Jim. How you doing?
Good, good, Matt. Great to have you. So you've won 8 of 9. You've won 13 of 16. Matt, you've got one-run wins against the Royals, including a 1-0 win in 11 on Wednesday. So bring me up to date. How would you describe the vibe in your clubhouse right now?
Yeah, it's a good vibe. You know, obviously we are in a spot that we wanted to be in at the beginning of the year where we have a chance at a postseason run. And, you know, while it's not the division, I feel like we're in a good spot for the wild card. And, yeah, everything's good.
Hey, Matt, yesterday I had Terry Francona on the show, and he said that as long as he's been around baseball, extra inning games in September are still kind of a kick in the ass. Like, there's still so much juice in that. How about you? What was that Wednesday game like for you, and how good did it feel to win that game that way?
Yeah, it's a big win, especially coming down in the stretch. You know, you get to September, and there's more arms to play longer games. So when you get into the extra innings, it's a little bit of a grind, and to be able to kind of mentally stay in it and for us to grind out a win is big, especially when we got this race coming down.
Matt Olson joining us. Let me go back to Tuesday night, Matt, against the Royals for a moment. The team's bats have been a little bit quiet through the first six innings, and then you unloaded on a 2-1 pitch. Before we get to the details of the home run itself, what were you looking for on that pitch, and then how did it feel when it left your bat?
That one felt pretty good. He was working his heater well that night. Had a lot of life on it, and that bat before he threw a sinker in, froze me for a strikeout. I just wanted to be aware of that, and got to a 2-1 count, and wanted to get on his fastball. He'd been playing up all night, and I didn't want to be beat by it.
That didn't happen because the ball left the bat at 110 miles per hour. It went over the first row of suites in the Coliseum in dead center, and you did it on a night in cool temperatures where the ball is not supposed to travel. I mean, you've hit some monster home runs in your career, including one in Philly a little while back. So where does this one rank?
It's either one or two. I'm not sure whether this one or the one in Philly was better. The Statcast said the one in Philly was further, but I don't know. I'm not so sure that that's right. So I'll pick this last one over the one in Philly.
Good. I see it working. Matt Olson joining us. Now, earlier in the month, you said, quote, "I just feel like I'm becoming more aware of my swing. When something feels off, I feel like I'm addressing it sooner than I have in the past and kind of getting back on track." Can you lay that out for me? What does it feel like to become more aware of your swing? I mean, I don't want to get too, like, esoteric about it, but what's it feel like to become more aware of it, and how important is it just to have that awareness?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I've never been too high of an average guy, but I could also argue that I've never had the same approach that I have at the plate right now. I think it's just something that comes along with the at-bats, comes along with the experience. You're starting to face, more guys in the big leagues that you faced before. You get more of a book on them. It's just a big combination of things. I feel like I've gotten to the point that I'm at now. And, I changed my swing to a new one in 2017, and 2017 went well for me the whole year. And last year was kind of a grind, so... From those two things, I've kind of picked and choose certain things, and know what clicks for me now.
A's first baseman Matt Olson joining us. So you lead the American League first baseman in home runs, but I say that because you do it despite missing 30 games in March and April due to a broken bone. How were you able to get up to speed so quickly after an injury of that magnitude?
I'm really not sure. I had heard, obviously, that the hamate bone, there's a big thing around baseball that it affects power. But honestly, once I started the rehab process and once I fully got back to swinging, I didn't really feel that the ball was coming off my bat any different. I don't know if it's a thing where I like being loose with my hands at the plate or whatever it may be, or me taking it slow through the rehab process, but through that, I feel like we handled it the right way, and I was able to kind of hit the ground running as far as that sense.
Matt Olson joining us. Listen, the word culture, Matt, gets used quite a bit in sports. In fact, I can't do an interview without it coming up one way or another. But there's a quote from your teammate, Chris Bassett, and he said, quote, "Matt Chapman and Matt Olson came and changed the culture around here." You can easily go back and say, hey, when did this all change? All these young guys changed the culture here, end quote. Look, I'm not sure I've ever heard a higher praise for a younger player than that. What's it mean to you then, Matt, to hear that? And did you consciously go about changing the culture or trying to change it?
Yeah, it's definitely an honor to hear that from a teammate. But no, I think it's just, it's all that Chapman and I have kind of known in a way. Before we came up, the way that the team was structured was kind of a little more of guys coming in on rental deals and, the A's kind of piecing together a team, trying to make the money work. And, I think from that shift to the younger core kind of coming up and almost feeling like a little bit of a breath of fresh air, we were able to kind of hit the ground running with that and, in a way, try to change that culture into a winning culture. And
You know, we've had a couple of good years here and want to keep it going for a while.
So when I think about you guys and part of the dynamic that you and Chapman bring to it is your partners when it comes to playing cards. Legend has it the two of you are the best partnership in that clubhouse, even better maybe than Marcus Semien and Chad Pinder. Is it true? Can anybody hang with you guys at the card table?
Oh, I love that. We're up there in our own minds. We definitely have the most fun with it, I think. Semien and Fires have beat us a couple flights here lately, but we're trying to turn it around.
So how did you get into it? Were you always into cards, and what do you guys play?
We play Pluck, which is pretty much spades where you can pick your own trump suit. And, I've always kind of been a cards guy. You learn to be a cards guy in the minor leagues when you're bussing around all over the middle of nowhere and, you know, just sitting through rain delays, whatever it may be. So it's kind of stuck. It makes the flights go a little quicker and get to chirp some guys during it.
Okay, so how much chirping is going on during those games?
Oh, there's a lot of chirping. There's a lot of stuff that couldn't be said on here, but, you know, it's all in good fun, and we're just trying to find a way to kill some time.
Well, I don't want to get greedy. Maybe you do the podcast, and then you can say whatever you want. Now, Chapman said you guys don't cheat, and he says you guys don't cheat because you won't cheat. Does that mean that he will cheat and that you guys would cheat if you were willing to cheat?
I don't think he would either. I think he wants to beat people straight up, which is kind of where I'm at. But I don't want to get into that. We're trying to figure out if other people are cheating on us to bring us down. But for us, we're gonna ride it out and just try to beat them fair and square.
I mean, I respect your honesty and I respect your integrity, but you know, baseball, like if you're not cheating, you're not trying. It's only cheating if you get caught. Or even in baseball, like there are certain ways to cheat. Just don't rub it in anybody's face. Are cards like that? I mean, is it like sign stealing? You can do it, but a certain way. Can you cheat in cards a certain way, or can you just not cheat? You can tell I like this topic.
Yeah, no, I don't know. We're trying to pick up on some verbal cues from people, see if there's, you know, similarities and Marcus Semien trying to tell Fires what suit to call. But we're cracking down on it. I'll let you know if we find any hard evidence.
Good. Thanks for doing that. And then one final thought, Matt. You know, guys, like some guys can pick signs. Like some guys just have a knack, right? You can sit in the bench or in the dugout, and some guys are really good at it and can decipher the code really quickly. Is it the same way with cards and tells and things like that? Do you just have to have a knack for it?
Yeah, for sure. It is kind of crazy, the similarities between stuff like that. But yeah, I guess, you know, all our days of looking for little things that pitchers do and whatever it may be on the baseball field is paying off on the card table. So guys will do some certain things where you know what they're about to do.
I figured. I knew it. It makes perfect sense to me. He is a Gold Glove winner. He is seventh in the American League in home runs and slugging percentage, and the A's are right where they always are, seemingly in September. They've got a two-game lead in the wild card. Texas at Oakland tonight. Matt, really appreciate you. Thanks for coming back. Always good to have you on.
Yeah, thanks, Jim.
That was fun, Matt. Thank you. Matt Olson. Love his approach. And I want to reiterate that when you've got guys in the clubhouse, vets, management, the organization saying the culture of this thing changed. Like there was a cultural shift and it changed, and it changed because of the young guys who came up. That is extremely high praise. I love the way they handle their business and have for the past 25 years. Texas at Oakland tonight. And my thanks to the A's and Matt Olson. That's some really good jungle stuff today. A's are a huge jungle team. The Astros are a huge jungle team. Justin Verlander was on. Today has been a great content day. Really good show. Extremely rangy on our part. Covered a lot of ground. Talked penis puppets for y'all. Had a Hall of Famer on. Had a great young player on right there. Some Hall of Fame takes from your Hall of Fame host. Hey-o! We're having a good day. And still to come, what is arguably the best segment of this show in any given week, and it is every single week, edited and produced by Alvin DeLauro. also known as The Week That Was. That's coming up. And I want to send you off into the weekend with a quick preview of episode 96 of the Jim Rome podcast. It's not gratuitous. Well, it is, actually. But it's good content. You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I do owe you a sports update, so here it is. This one is anchored. Albies, Week That Was coming up momentarily, but first the ATP, which is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. ATP reads, Jimbo Slice. Have you got a favorite game you're betting this weekend? Care to divulge? Thanks, Greg in Garden Grove. All right, so my thoughts on this. Little background. I get down. I get some action. I'm not a degenerate. I don't bet a ton of games. But as it becomes more and more accessible and more available and more legal, it's interesting to me. Everything about it is interesting to me. How it affects how we watch games, how it affects the content machine, how it affects what you will all do. Will you watch games more? Will you watch them differently? So look, I'm going to be honest with you. I do like to get down a little bit. A little bit. I get, and I do have a consultant. A guru, so to speak. Even though I'm like a guy supposed to know, I like to get a little edge. And I'll even divulge what that is. James Kelly. And James Kelly and I like to compare notes. Sometimes he gives me advice, and I take it, and it costs me money. Sometimes he gives me advice and I don't take it and I make money.
That's right.
Sometimes he gives me good advice.
Cut that meat.
Anyway, we're more, although I love the college game and I track it the way I do the NFL, I'm more about if I'm going to get down, I'm more about Sundays and Saturdays. But my favorite game this weekend, as you might imagine, is Michigan-Wisconsin. I love it. And not for personal reasons, although there is a personal element. The Michigan coach and I do not get along. That's personal. I'm not going to say it's not, because it is. It never is, but that is. When he took a run at me after I took a run at him, it got kind of personal, right? So there's a little bit of that. But again, I've taken a run at guys. They've taken a run at me, and we've worked it all out. And it's great. I've got countless examples of that that I'm proud of. Like, I like working things out. I pride myself in that. He and I haven't worked things out. That aside, when it comes to gambling, I don't get personal. It's business. It's business. So my kid goes to Wisconsin. My wife and kid are going to that game. If I thought Michigan would win the game, I would take Michigan. It's business. Business is business. Business is business. And business being business, I like Wisconsin better. I like the matchup. Love their O-line. Love Jonathan Taylor. Getting really good quarterback play too, right? They're at home. They're at Camp Randall. I'm not impressed with what I've seen from Michigan so far at all. Granted, Wisconsin hasn't played anybody, but they have looked dominant. Michigan did everything they could to lose to Army and didn't. So it's not personal. Even though there's some personal elements to this, I sent my kid there. It's not personal. I like Wisconsin better. I've got them this weekend. And if you're going to get real cute and say, really, Rome, what's the line? What did you get? The line right now is -3.5, and I also see it at -170. So I've got Wisconsin. Hi, Jim. If Tom Brady got a penis puppet, I would go to marionette school. Sarah T? Holy crap. Sarah T, Kay Savage, and Ms. Nika. All representing Lady Clone Nation. I think that'd be a very good time, Alvin, for you to roll the week that was.
Join us right now with his early season take on the league is the one and only Jim Rome, host of the Jim Rome Show. Take it away, Jim!
Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. Except I know for a fact that a number of you are not having a tremendous Monday. Because I know a number of you go as your local team goes. And some really bad things happened to some of your teams yesterday. Steelers fans, I've got bad, bad news for you. Saints fans, I've got bad news for you.
And here's Mason Rudolph warming up. Ben Roethlisberger's elbow.
Ben Roethlisberger. Out for the season. 0-2. Big Ben's done the entire year. I don't want to say the Steelers season is over, but the Steelers season is over.
The thumb agrees and he's out.
This felt like it was something a bit more significant.
A torn ligament in the thumb on his throwing hand. So that also sucks. I would love to tell you that everything's going to be just fine, but I'm not sure that it will.
Trevor Price.
If you're going to be Big Ben, can't do it at 172 pounds.
What?
6 weeks is not it, man. That's going to be 12. That might be season ending.
Dr. Price, did you just double the amount of time?
Double it. Double it.
Email.
The weekend's football action. I missed it all because I was dead. Signed Ed Money. I know, clones. The second ticket was for Rick Ocasio.
Holy goodness smoke!
The Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes and the Raiders don't. He's got the arm of John Elway, the release of Dan Marino. And the savviness of Brett Favre.
And Aaron Jones blowing up more Vikings than the Anglo-Saxons in the 9th century. And you know,
Lonnie Sitake is my guest. How do you go about leading through love?
Oh, God, I'm a product of other people's love. And so it'd be foolish for me not to return that to others, you know.
Odell, who?
Here's Mayfield throwing, and it's Odell Beckham Jr. in the clear. He's going into the end zone.
Cleveland 23, Jets 3, Haters 0.
That's your opinion?
I told you so. They did what they needed to do. 1-0 on the week. Tip your hat and keep moving.
God bless the Cleveland Brown fans all over the world.
Running back Aaron Jones, what was the hardest candy or dessert to give up?
Hardest candy was gummy bears to give up. That was definitely my snack to go to and chip.
Were you more of a sugar guy or a salt guy?
Sure, definitely.
Bench the salt.
My 32-year-old body is...
You're 32.
Yep.
Jesus.
The guy sitting behind you who's 44 going on 70 can't believe you're 32.
32.
Levante David.
It was just about me just having the right mindset to attack it, attack the process. That's what I did. Every day, getting in, I'm trying to beat the trainer shit. I'm trying to get as much work in as I can.
That's your opinion?
Twitter!
You think Greg Williams' soundbite is surprising? Baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. Signed, Bachman Turner Overdrive.
I don't really want it to be a distraction.
And I guarantee Coughlin sitting back there thinking to himself, we're not going to let Jalen Ramsey dictate the situation. Maybe you should, Tom. If you have to pick between your star corner and your average head coach, you better take the star corner.
Some hell of love.
But now I'm working a construction job. It doesn't matter. I got to go to work every day and feed my kids wrong.
If I did what Jalen Ramsey did in my job, I wouldn't have a job. Right. Because you are replaceable. Because I am replaceable.
I can tell you no more than what Marty told you.
To undergo X-ray, MRI.
I don't know.
The head coach doesn't know anything about whether or not the former MVP underwent or needs to undergo an MRI.
I have no idea.
Lala, I don't want to know about Cam.
Emails.
There have been some really bad resets on this program, starting notably with Oge. But the oldest and one of the worst has to be Bo Diaz. I have no idea how that became a thing.
Back to throw. Fade right side. Witten.
He's not lucky he's the Cowboys' quarterback. The Cowboys are lucky Dak Prescott is their QB1. Pay him. No one needs to put two donuts and a piece of fried chicken in their face for lunch. That is not your breakfast, lunch, and dinner writ. If you're thinking about eating this Sando, don't. Terry Francona is my guest.
Damn, Jim, can you say that again? That's kind of felt good.
My man, I could say that all day long. Terry, you know that? You know that? I got
it's
such...
good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm not just talking to Jim Rome. I'm talking to the Hall of Famer Jim Rome.
My man.
You know, some people get mad about being in doctor's offices. I say, you got to have patience.
Hell! Why don't you give him a golden ticket for that?
Steal a show.
Say, if AB's looking for somewhere to crash, he can crash with me. Imagine the tabloids then.
Jim, you're literally my bestest friend.
Hey, John, my apologies. I'm really sorry that had to happen. Jeff in Southfield, come on, man.
And I was laughing so hard that people were actually knocking on my window and asking me what I was laughing about.
Don't come up in here and lie to me, Steve.
I'm supposed to be in the batter's box today on the phone.
Deion Jones.
I don't want to let my brothers down. I want to be there when I'm supposed to be there, flying around, the least I can do for them.
Justin Verlander is my guest.
Good to be on, man. It's definitely been a little bit, so happy to be back.
Justin, what was that process like?
From the ground up, all the way to my neck, kind of like putting Humpty Dumpty back together again, you know. And
tennis puppets.
You seen this guy sausage fingers?
Mike Bettini.
My heart jumped up in my throat.
Foot Locker. I mean, referee.
Who has it?
Next question.
I'm on fire.
Dude, you should be fired. Put his babies in
Please,
me.
Please, Jim, come to Houston and see a game with me.
Are you not a Hall of Famer going into the Anderson Radio Hall of Fame in November?
I love that.
Thank you.
Good night now.
Alvin, that was incredible. That was absolutely incredible. At the very end of that, you heard Jeff in Southfield doing a fake John in New York. To give you more context very quickly, Jeff in Southfield is like this kooky, wacky caller. And then he comes out of nowhere pretending to be John in New York. I mean, it was so lame.
You're literally my bestest friend in the whole wide world, Jim. Thank you, Jim.
I mean, just wrong and lame. Let's go to the phones. John in New York, the real blue check verified John in New York. Calls right now. My man, John, how are you?
Jim, I'm doing great. It's great to be on with you again. Hey, I had to call the fire department, the New York Fire Department, on Sunday after seeing you on the NFL today. Awesome spot, Jim. Crushed it. On point, on market. Everything was like, I was like pumping my chest out when I saw that. And I was telling my friends about that. You know, people who think you're all about Hollywood and everything. I was like, how can you not like that guy? And if you like that guy on TV, if you hear him on the radio, you'll love him. You'll love him after you hear him. And Jim, as far as our Port Authority tunnel resident, Happy Days freak, and Roswell escapee from Southfield, if he'd have brought that act to the Apollo, the Sandman would have came out and cracked him in the gums, because from the sounds of it, I'm pretty sure his teeth are already missing, Jim. Thanks again, Hall of Famer, and hopefully I'll see you soon.
You know it, John. Rack him. You tell me, does that guy sound even remotely like this guy?
That was like the best interview that I ever heard.
Nice try, Jeff.
My whole life, Jim.
Nothing.
Your interviews,
he sounds nothing like him.
Awesome interviews in the history of radio, Jim.
He sounds nothing like John. Nothing like John. Come on, Jeff. Man, Jeff, stick to doing what you do best. Talking about Arnold and Arthur Fontarelli and betting Pinky Tuscadero.
Thank you, Jim.
Come on, Jeff. You sound nothing like John. Man, nothing. At the very end of Alvin's week that was, you heard Tillman Fertitta invite me to a Rockets game. I meant to preview the podcast. I ran out of time. Listen to it this weekend. Jim Rome Podcast, episode 96, Tillman Fertitta. He's got a really interesting book out. He is a multi-billionaire. You can find it on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, JimRome.com, or right at the top of my Twitter feed. That's that.
Uh-oh.
My thanks to Justin Verlander, Deion Jones, Matt Olson, the XR4TI. Huge call today brought to you by Dell Computer. Have a great weekend. See you around.